Welcome to Let's Talk Ed. And Zahi, we are going to continue a topic that we have been talking about, and that is the promise of college. And right. This time we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that topic, and we're going to talk about the promise of college for the people who need it the most. And in this case, we're talking about, you know, a wide array of different groups that, you know, colleges, especially community colleges, are really trying to serve.
Yes. And we are, both of us are a bit, I'm not going to say riled up. I'm not going to say on a rant. I'm going to say that we are trying to identify those areas where it's not acceptable for higher education to continue to be lagging behind. And we're going to, in addition to identifying them, we're going to speak to the needs of those categories, and then we're going to try to start proposing solutions. So this is a multi-week series of installments conversation, because we cannot. It's not that we cannot because we have an enrollment cliff, right? It's not we cannot because, our budgets are likely to be affected. We just heard from California that next year's budget for two-year colleges are not going to be as big as they had been. Perhaps they're going to see a decrease, and so many other states. It is because those are a necessity. It is detrimental to the economic viability and competitiveness of the U.S., in addition to the sustainability of our population. You know, somebody needs to take care of us as we're aging, right? Somebody needs to take care of our cars. Somebody needs to put the roof over our head. And you don't want the dummies to do that. You want the educated to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, when we're talking about all of these different groups, to some extent, every college is going to be serving some of these groups regardless. You know, so, you know, we talk about wealth versus people that are not as economically strong. We talk about, you know, rural versus urban. You know, certainly you can talk about, you know, virtually every different minority out there. And we're all serving those groups in some way, shape, or form, or at least attempting to serve those groups in some way, shape, or form. And what we're kind of getting at is, are we really doing enough here to make a difference and make sure, one, we're getting them into our colleges. We're showing them that there is a better way of life through higher education. But also, once we get them, we're making sure that we're working to make sure they're successful, and we're working to retain those students. And there are a lot of parts to that.
There are. And we shouldn't stop at what you said, right? We can talk about the LGBTQ plus. I apologize. I'm not going to go through the laundry list of various groups there. No offense to any particular entity or group. The veterans, the folks with disabilities, the working adults, the adults with dependents, whether it's children or siblings or elderly family members. We're talking about the people who are in precarity of housing and or food. So basically, we're talking about a large swath of the population for which higher education was not built originally, right? So when we think about higher education, especially in the U.S., you're talking about a wealthy tranche of the population that attained it. Up until today, or just about today, that was it. And we see it in particular recruiting and admission processes in a number of different places. And if nothing else, the admission scandal of the last 5 years has unearthed the how severe this problem is and how entrenched it is and how potentially segregationist in a particular way, especially against the folks who don't have the means, as you suggested. Do you agree that it's more than meets the eye, and in reality, the setup isn't necessarily right?
Yeah, you know, I think about going through an exercise that, you know, we had during one of our workshops where, you know, we were going through and talking about homeless students. And small rural community, you typically don't think of homelessness being a problem there. You know, you think that's an urban problem, and it's not. It happens everywhere. And they showed the numbers of the number of students that we had that were in that homeless situation. And I think it, one, shocked everybody. And two, you know, talking about the specific kinds of things that they may need, the services that they may need, but may not, you know, self-identify that, you know, hey, I don't have a roof over my head. I'm sleeping in my car. I don't know when my next meal is going to come from. They may not self-identify those things. And all of that goes on to have powerful ramifications in their studies and, you know, how they're participating in classes, how they're succeeding, and, you know, ensuring that, one, your entire faculty and staff understand that this is a reality, and two, what are you doing about it?
Excellent point, Chris. Thank you for sharing what you learned. I'm going to agree with you. I did not think about it, but it makes a whole lot of sense. I'm going to share with you another one, and I had a conversation with people. You know, the assumption that, one in six of African-American males is going to finish community college. Well, so that's the number based on current statistics. But if it is not fed in a model that uses our prior knowledge about the percentage of African-American in our population, about the percentage of males who enter higher education, the percentage of males who persist and finish, if you feed it in, now you're ending up double that number, which means that about 13% of any African-American males group, 13% are not going to finish. It's far more severe than meets the eye. And, you know, what are we doing for the veterans? What are we doing for their needs? Not every veteran has PTSD, but not every veteran is interested in going and spending time in veteran club, right? So how can we deal with their needs as individuals? And that is the conversation that we need to have, is understanding our students, understanding their needs, understanding what is the gateway, what is the obstacle for their retention and their success. It could be as simple as a tire that they cannot fix on their vehicle because they don't have the money. It could be just a puncture, but they don't have the money to fix it. So how can we claim that the promise of college creates equality when in reality it's equity that we should be pursuing?
So yeah, absolutely. And it does very much become an individual problem, which makes it challenging because we are really good at taking on monolithic problems, but right, not necessarily looking at those individual problems. So we've been talking about the promise of college and specific to the groups that really need it the most, that can benefit from it the most. If you enjoy topics like this, be sure and subscribe to us here on YouTube. Ring that bell down below so you get notified when we post new content. And of course, you can find Let's Talk Ed on all of your favorite content podcasting platforms as well. So for Dr. Zahi Atala, I'm Chris Ford. We'll see you next time right here on Let's Talk Ed.